Right now we're in a series called What Would You Say? What Would You Say? And it's to challenge and kind of encourage us, because some of us as humans, maybe not you, maybe just me, have a temptation to read the Bible and we kind of just watch it happen. But we don't ever think maybe that it applies to our life, that maybe Jesus was saying things to people then that he's still saying right now. So what would we say back to Jesus in some moments? And so this is week three. If you love it, we put all our material up online. You go back and watch it. If you hate it, I am so sorry, but we've tried our best. And so I want to ask, you know, have you guys ever been into a relationship that you kind of know it's time for it to be done? Maybe you were dating somebody and you realize this is not right. This is not right for me. This is not right for you. And it's definitely not right for the both of us being together. I see some of y'all laugh. May the Lord bless you wherever you're at. And I've been there and been there. I went to high school here at Mount Airy Christian Academy. And while I was here, I was in a relationship that neither of us were bringing out the best in each other. And so it needed to end. And it did every 3 weeks. And then we'd get back together. And we'd last about 3 weeks again because it wasn't right. It wasn't going great. And so maybe that's not you. You go, no, I never. Maybe you just know other people. You know what I'm saying? You just know other people that need to break up. But sometimes we have unhealthy relationships with other things besides people. Maybe you've got an unhealthy relationship with stress, with anxiety, with worrying, and you're like, no, Philip, never. That would be never me. But maybe it's just me. I've had unhealthy relationships with stress and anxiety in my life. It sent me to the doctor two different times where they run all kinds of different tests on me. And then the doctor comes and asks these words I don't like. He goes, Philip. I'm like, yes. Are you stressed? And maybe y'all have heard me say this before, but that question stresses me out. Because that question infers there's other people who aren't stressed. And that stresses me out. I'm like, doctor, of course I'm stressed. Everybody is stressed, right? And he's like, no, it's physically affecting your body. You can't digest foods anymore. You know, I had to have like an EKG. It was affecting my heart. Stress has deeply affected me a couple times because I've had an unhealthy relationship with stress at different points in my life. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've had some unhealthy relationships with stress and anxiety and worry. Maybe it's time to break up. Maybe it's time to break up. I want us to look at Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, we're going to start in verse 9. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay. If you do have your Bible, open up your Bible app or your actual physical Bible. That'd be great. You can read along. But if not, the words are going to be up on the screen. Can we get up for our tech team? Can we get up for our tech team? Just doing a great job. Doing a great job. We do have some openings. I just remembered as well. So if you'd like to join the tech bunker and tech team, we'd love to have you serve once a month. We're not asking for every Sunday. We're just once a month. If you're willing to click some buttons on a screen, that'd be powerful. We really need it in case you like words on the screen. So that's my shameless plug. If you want to just come and serve and you're willing to click some buttons, we'd love to have you come talk to me or Pastor Chris or our tech team after the service. We'd love to have you plug in. Look at verse 19. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moths and vermin destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is where your heart will be also. And so you may have heard this verse taught a million times. You may have never heard these verses before. I want us to look at it just a little bit differently. And I want us to look at it a little bit because Jesus throws out, what's interesting is he throws out there's two different kingdoms that exist. Two different kingdoms that exist. He says that you can store up treasures in heaven. And in case you're wondering, you're like, I've never been to heaven. So how does that work? Like, do I open a bank account there? Like, how does one acquire treasures in heaven, and how do I keep them? You know, you don't want to be selfish, but what if somebody else ends up with my treasures? You know what I'm saying? I mean, if I put them in heaven, I like them to stay there. And so sometimes we like treasures to stay here on earth because, watch this, it's the only kingdom we really know. If you've been to heaven, I am curious, but you also may have been doing drugs. It's one of the two, and I don't want to judge. And so, but we can store up treasures on earth or in heaven. But Jesus says, by the way, you can store up treasures here on earth, but stuff can happen to them. He says there's vermin. Y'all got vermin running around. Times are tough. And then you got some moths, and you got thieves, and everybody wants your treasures here. You guys ever discover this? You start making a little bit money, and everybody else seems to want it. Have you discovered this purpose in life? You're like, man, I can't wait to graduate college. I'm going to start making money. And then all these bills start showing up, and you're like, wait. No, this is my money. I worked for this, but everybody wants it. And so Jesus says, you can store up your treasures here, but you can store up your treasures in heaven. There's two different kingdoms. And maybe you've heard this before, and you go, yeah. But then he says, where your heart will be, or where your treasure is, your heart will be also. And that's an interesting thing for us to think about. Wait. So there's two different kingdoms, but I can only have my heart focused on one of them? And Jesus says, yeah. Jesus draws this hard line in the sand. See, I think as humanity, when we read the Bible, we like gray lines. We like to live a little bit in the middle. We don't necessarily want hard lines in the sand. Jesus says you're either for the kingdom of God or you're for this earth. And that's difficult if we're humans because, Jesus, we go, we've only known one kingdom. That's the only one we see. We see this one here on earth. So how do we store up treasures in heaven if we don't know they're there? In case you're wondering, if you're storing up treasure in heaven, how does one check that bank account? You know, if you've got, nowadays we've got apps and onlines, or you can walk in and ask and tell her. You can ask what you've got going on this earth. You can look around and see it. You know, every time I walk out to the parking lot and I see my 2009 Ford Fusion, I'm like, I got treasures here. Thank you, Jesus. You know, maybe, you know, you're not impressed. That's fine. And so, but maybe we can walk out, we can see our treasures here, but you can't see them in heaven. Anybody else maybe struggle with that difficult tension? Jesus, you want me to store up treasures in a place I've never been, I can't see, nor will I see in my entire life here on this side of eternity. You want me to store up treasures there? And he goes, yes, I want you to store up treasures there. And then also, I want you to put your heart there. I want you to love the kingdom of God and not this earth. And I'm going to be honest, most people, if you call yourself a Christian, would go, amen. Amen, Jesus. I love the kingdom of God, and I don't love this earth. And Jesus is this interesting guy where he doesn't buy what humanity is selling a lot of times. He doesn't buy when Philip Kite tries to look back and go, Jesus, I put my heart and treasure in heaven. Jesus goes, okay, look what he says here in verse 22. He says, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And now Jesus, he doubles down. He says, what you focus on affects your whole body. It affects your entire life. Where you put your passion, your values, your effort, your attention, he says, that affects everything about you. Everything about you gets affected by this. And you, if you want to be just let in a little bit on my life. I'll let you know after I read these verses what was the most convicting thing about them for you. You can write it down if you want. You can send me an email and say, hey, man, remember you were challenged by this? Thank you. That's delightful. And so, but the most challenging thing after I read these verses was I started thinking, how often do I pray to be blessed in heaven? If I'm honest with you, I pray a lot to be blessed here on earth. I pray the Lord will bless this church, that the Lord will pour out his favor upon us, that he'll bless my wife and I, and he has. He's been great to our family. He's been kind and generous more than we deserve and all those things. But if I'm honest with you, I don't remember the last time where I've done something for the Lord and I said, God, please put all of my blessing for this in heaven. Don't recall the last time that happened. And that was convicting because it means maybe, Philip, you put your treasure here on earth more than you think you do. When's the last time you prayed for the Lord? Lord, won't you please pour out your favor and blessing in heaven where I will never see it on this side of eternity? When's the last time we prayed like that? For me, unfortunately, it's not been recently. And that was really convicting because then it starts to reveal my own prayer life is revealing to me I maybe place more value on this side of eternity than where Jesus says, put your heart and treasure in heaven. There's two different kingdoms. Look at verse 24. Verse 24, Jesus is not letting this go because he's not buying what Philip is selling. He goes, verse 24, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And see, here's the thing. I think he's going after money because that tends to be what rules this side of eternity. It doesn't matter where country you go to or anything. Money seems to be the currency that dictates power inside of this world. And so he says, what do you really love? And the series is called, What Would You Say? And so shockingly, what would you say back to Jesus in this moment? He looks at us as humanity. He looks you right in the eye and he says, you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve two masters. He says, you will love one, despise the other. So when he asks us, who do you love? And it's easy for maybe we get into Christian circles and we go, no, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. But it's different when we picture having to look Jesus in the eye. It changes the stakes a little bit when Jesus says, do you really love the kingdom of God or do you love this earth? What would you say? What would you say back to Jesus when he challenges us with that hard line in the sand? Which kingdom do you really value? Is it the one that's coming, the one that's eternal, the one you haven't seen yet? Or do you value this one where moths and vermin and thieves can steal and destroy? And see, it's important for us to really decide what we value. Because what we value is really what we're going to go after. Jesus told us, what you focus on, where you put your attention, that's going to affect your whole body, right? He says that earlier. And if we focus on things that are darkness, it says our whole body will eventually become darkness. Man, that's not small talk right there. Jesus throws out this deep idea that what we focus and put our attention on deeply affects who we are. But see, that's not the main thing of what we're going after. The reason I gave all those verses is, one, they're important. They're in the Bible. But they give us context for what Jesus is about to say in the next verses. Like, we have to understand what Jesus just taught in these verses to understand where he's going in the next ones. I want you to look at verse 25. Verse 25, he says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And see, now Jesus is starting to bring it all together, why he just taught all of those principles that there's a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of this earth, and it really is important where we place our value, because he's starting to teach us and show us ultimately we're not in control of this side of eternity. There's things that are going to happen in this life that we cannot control, and he's telling us that on this side of eternity, things don't last forever. There's things that don't last forever, and that's going to bring pain. That's going to bring disappointment. That's going to bring heartache. That is going to bring all kinds of things that don't exist in the kingdom of God. He says, so don't worry. Look at the birds. And they don't store. They don't reap. They don't do anything. And God says he's going to take care of them. And then he says, are you not much more valuable than they? And I just want to ask, do you believe that? See, I think maybe whether you're in Hiawassee or online or here in Morganton, you hear that Jesus says, are you not more valuable than the birds? And life beats you up a little bit and you go, I don't know. I honestly don't know that I believe that I'm more valuable than birds. Life has been very hard to me. It's hard for me to grasp that Jesus would say I'm more valuable than the birds, because I feel like they're getting a better treatment than I am. And it's hard for you to picture that Jesus would say that you're more valuable. But see, here's the thing. Jesus is going after this so much because when we focus on the things of this world and we try to control them, it eventually, Jesus is teaching us, it's going to lead us to a lack of trust. And when we have a lack of trust in Jesus, it's going to lead us to anxiety. It's going to lead us to worry. It's going to lead us to stress because we're worried about things that don't last. He went after this, and that's why that context is so important. Jesus lays out everything in this earth does not last. And therefore, as humans, we're tendency to place our value, to try to control, to try to hold on to things that we can't help but let slip through our fingers because they don't last. And so as we slowly maybe watch things fade away from our hands and we try to control and we try to hang on, it brings this worry, this stress, this anxiety because they don't last. But the things that we value are slipping away. But Jesus says in the kingdom of God, things don't slip away. Things don't go away. They last forever. And then Jesus says something that I felt personally attacked by. Just going to be honest, as I read these verses, there was something I felt personally attacked me. And he says, can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? I felt like Jesus said that to me. And he looked me in the eye and said, Philip, I'm like, yes, Lord. Can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? And my answer was, no, but I've been trying very hard, you know? And so I don't know, maybe you feel that way too. I am one who, my personality type is I stress, and when I get stressed, I spiral. It's like it's just going downhill, you know? It's not like a car slowly kind of coming to a stop. We're just going to go right off the ledge. Just go flying there and see what happens. It doesn't work out real well, but I tend to stress, and I stress a lot about future situations. I stress a lot about things that haven't happened yet. Like, I think about what could happen. I think about the 8 different scenarios of what could happen from there, and I start chasing them all down the rabbit trails, and 3 hours later, like, I'm in a cold sweat. You know, I'm having, like, heart palpitations, and I'm like, well, solved all those problems, right? You know, as I'm half dead from stress and anxiety. And Jesus is like, that's not healthy, Philip. My counselor I've seen in the past also would tell me that. That's not healthy. I feel like I'm being, you know, tag team there. But Jesus says, Can you add a single hour to your life by worrying? And all of us as humanity would have to go, no. Not only can we not add an hour to our life, after hearing Philip's medical problems, I'm concerned that he may have lost hours in his life, you know, by worrying and stress. And you're probably right. But can you add an hour? And so what he's trying to go after the most here is, where do you put your value? Where do you put your value? Is it the things here on earth? Because things on earth, watch this, he's building this argument. He's building this argument that things on this earth bring anxiety and stress and worry because they don't last. They don't last. But he's built this other argument that, hey, you can put stuff in the kingdom of God where it lasts forever. Have you ever thought about what he's kind of implying there subtly is things of the kingdom don't bring stress and anxiety. Things of the kingdom don't bring stress and anxiety. Why? Because in heaven, there is no stress. In heaven, there is no anxiety. In heaven, Philip's not going to be sitting there sweating and worrying about all the, you know, future consequences of what is gonna happen. And so Jesus is saying, hey, if you're stressed, if you're worrying, if you're having anxiety, Philip, are you? It could be because you're placing value on things that don't last. You're placing value on things that don't last. If you put your heart and treasure in heaven, there is no stress or anxiety there. You understand the reality that things don't last here on this side of eternity, but you value everything that does last in the kingdom of God. One of the principles I was taught in counseling was called grounding. It's to try to bring you back from all the future things you're thinking about, and I think some of us need to learn spiritual grounding. If you're worried and stressed about all these things that are happening in the future, you need to just slow down and be present in the moment. You need to slow down and just go, okay, Jesus, I need to focus on right here, right now. I don't need to worry about things I can't control in the future. I need to worry about right now. And maybe you need to just, you know, hopefully maybe you have a couple Bible verses memorized. You have your couple Bible verses you love, and you just go, I'm just going to think on those right now. I'm going to speak those out loud right now. Or maybe you have some favorite worship music, and you go, I'm going to turn that on just right now, and I'm not going to think about anything else. I'm just going to put my attention on Jesus, sir. Or maybe I'm just going to spend just a moment in prayer and just telling Jesus, I'm stressed. I'm worried. I need you just to meet me right now in this moment. And you just need to ground yourself back in the reality of the kingdom of God and not the earthly kingdom. See, I think sometimes this earth kind of drags us in and gets us very passionate and focused on what we can see and touch, because that's the temptation as humans. It's hard to place our value on something we've never seen before. But Jesus encourages us to do that. And see, look at verse 26. I think some of us just read past that, but we need to understand the Father values us. The Father values us. If you take notes, I'd encourage you to write that down. If you're not taking notes, I'd encourage you just to maybe say it under your breath. The Father values me. And the reason I encourage you to write it down or to say it under your breath is because it's going to trigger a reaction from you. It's going to trigger a reaction, and you're going to realize very quickly, do you believe that or not? Do you believe it or not when you say the Father values me? And maybe you say it out loud and you go, man, I didn't believe a word I just said. Maybe you write it down and you see it in front of you and you're like, I don't believe that. Maybe you've told yourself you're not really worth much, you're not very valuable, but Jesus just said you're worth more than the birds. Jesus himself, who's the Son of God, just said, I absolutely value you. But here's the thing. I think a lot of us say we don't have value because we look at what the world says is valued. We look around and say, Jesus, I must not have any value. You know, look at my life. It seems to be falling apart. Jesus, I must not have value. I don't have a certain amount of money. Jesus, I don't have value. Look at my career. Like, I don't have value because I'm not married, or I'm not value because of fill in the blank. And we try to tell Jesus, I'm not valued according to what? Things of the world. You see, if we don't understand the kingdom of God, we'll never understand our value to the Father. If we don't understand the kingdom of God, we'll never understand our value. And Jesus, the Son of God, says, you are more valued than the birds. And he's talking about it from a kingdom of God perspective, the kingdom where you can store up treasures that never fade away, the kingdom of God where you can store up treasures that are never going to bring stress, anxiety, or worry. He's talking about a kingdom where you spend eternity with God. That's the kingdom he's talking about, that you are more valued than everything else. But see, a lot of us don't spend time thinking about that kingdom. We don't put our heart or treasure there, and therefore, if we don't put our heart and treasure in heaven, why would we ever understand the value that Jesus has on us? Because we look around and take all of our value from this world. And when we take our value from this world, it doesn't last forever. And it brings stress, it brings anxiety, it brings worry. I don't remember what year it was exactly, but I sometimes will journal, and I wrote this down years and years ago as I was struggling with stress, anxiety. I wrote down, anxiety is not a fruit of the Spirit. Anxiety is not a fruit of the Spirit. And if you're not a Christian, that's okay. We're very glad you're here at Vertical. But if you're not a Christian, or you are a Christian, I'd encourage you to write down Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. And what I'm talking about, if you go read Galatians 5, is Holy Spirit teaches us what's the result of our flesh and what's the result of Holy Spirit. Like, Holy Spirit can grow things in your life from the kingdom of God. And one of those things that's listed, that's not listed as a fruit of the Spirit, is anxiety. So when I realize, man, Philip, I'm just letting anxiety just grow and increase in my life, I realize I'm not walking in the things of the kingdom of God. I'm not walking where Jesus tells me to put my heart and treasure. I'm focused on the things of this world that slip away and are going to always end up causing stress and anxiety because they don't last forever. Anxiety is not a fruit of the Spirit. So maybe if you're like me and you start dealing with that anxiety, that stress, and that worry, you need to remind yourself, this is not of God. This is not of God. I am not putting my attention and focus where it needs to be. And man, if there's anyone who will get in your corner and tell you it is a tough battle, I'm here with you. I understand it is a tough battle when it comes to stress and anxiety and worry. And I've shared my testimony about things I've gone through in my past, and we don't have time to get there today. But I've been through a lot in the past, and I understand stress and anxiety, and it's difficult. Look at verse 28, though. Verse 28. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. And that's Jesus' kind of closing argument. That there's two kingdoms that exist, and there's one that's going to be stress and anxiety and worry that's going to just kind of wreck our soul. But then Jesus says there's another kingdom that will bring healing to your soul. It's the kingdom of God. He says there's two worlds, and they do two different things to your soul. One brings nothing but worry and stress and anxiety, and there's another kingdom that can bring peace. And he says you'll find out which one you value by the fruit of where you place your value. He says if you put your value on the things of this world, you will reap stress, worry, and anxiety. But if you put your heart and your treasure in heaven, you will have peace. Don't worry. Don't worry. But as I was reading through these verses, when the Lord kind of laid them on my heart, and I felt like there were supposed to be what we taught on and spoke on this week, there was two words that stuck out to me in a way that never stuck out before. And it's in verse 32. And the two words that stuck out to me was, Father knows. And I read those and they struck me in a way they never have before. The Father knows. Everything that we worry about, we stress, that gets to us, the Father knows. And if I'm honest, for some of you, that's probably some of the most encouraging stuff you've heard all day. As you realize everything you're going through, everything that's causing you stress or anxiety, the Father is right there with you, and He knows. And there's just something about those verses that are starting to bring comfort and peace in your life right now. And you're realizing everything you're going through, the Father knows. You've not been abandoned. You've not been left behind. You are not, you know, just cast away. The Father knows. But if we're honest, there's some other people who are hearing this. And if you're honest, it makes you angry. You hear that the Father knows what you're going through, what you've been through, and you hear it and it makes you angry. And you go, Philip, how would you know that? I know it because I've been there before. Like, I'm speaking from personal experience. Some of the things you go through in life and you realize God knows and I went through that, and you get angry. Because if He knew, if He's really God, how could that happen? I found just some semblance of peace thinking maybe just God missed it because I'm not valuable. Like, I thought maybe He just overlooked it because I'm not important. But by now you're trying to tell me that the Father knows, and it made me angry. Can we just have an honest moment in a church service? Can we just talk about the anger that you're feeling if you realize the Father knows? And he that anger that's kind of birthed out of that when you realize the Father knew everything you've been through. It's because we're placing value on things this side of eternity. And that's challenging and that's difficult, but I think we all need to hear it. When we get really angry with God for allowing things to happen, it's happened on this side of eternity. It's not happened on that side. It's not happened in the kingdom of God where things don't get taken or stolen or destroyed. See, on this side, in this kingdom, in this world, things fade away. They don't last forever. They're not the kingdom of God, and sin has entered this side. And sin has entered this side of eternity, and it makes things difficult. It brings about heartbreaking situations. It brings about truly deep pain. But the Father wants you to know He knows. He wants you to know today that you are seen, that you are valued, that you have not been cast aside, that you have value in the kingdom of God. And so many of us walk around this world and we let things that fade away dictate whether or not we believe we have value. And Jesus is trying to teach in this moment, He's trying to show humanity that you are valued in the kingdom of God. That you were created, that you were made, that you have a purpose, that you can serve the Lord. He knows. He knows. And the other thing that makes it really difficult for some of us when we realize the Father knows is it means we have to talk about it. It means if He knows, if He's right there with us, if He knows, it means we have to sometimes acknowledge some things that are painful, that are difficult, that we feel like it's easier if we don't talk about these things, if we don't deal with them. But if He already knows, then it's time for us to talk about it with the Father. And sometimes it's easier for us to try to bury it and put it away, but that's not what Jesus says here. Your Father already knows what you need. And some of us have put off conversations with the Father for far too long. And I don't have time to get into it all, but the scripture actually lays out in the rest of the New Testament the way for healing to sometimes take place in our life is, one, have a conversation with God. Just be honest with God about the pain and the hurt and the difficulty you've gone through, and just be honest with Him. But then Jesus, and also in the New Testament, talks us to about talking about with someone else. And for some odd reason in Christianity, we've sometimes placed this weird lesser than value on counseling or talking with someone. I want to encourage you that the New Testament actually encourages to talk to someone else. Don't go air your dirty laundry to the rest of the world, but find someone who's going to help you work through some things with healing. And I want you to hear, at least at this church, the pastor of this church does not put a lesser than value on counseling. I would encourage you to find a Christian counselor, someone who believes in the word of God and the healing that it can bring, but also is going to speak into your life. And maybe that's time. Maybe it's time for you to reach out and finally start to talk about some things you've buried away from the Father and start allowing him to maybe move and process some things in your life to bring healing in them. I want us to look at one last verse. Jesus sums it all up with this one last verse in verse 34. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Jesus, at the very end of this, encourages us. Jesus acknowledges the troubles that can exist in this world. He says, I know, humanity. I look at you, humanity, and I know there's troubles. I know there's worries. I know there's temptations to struggle and wrestle with anxiety and stress and worry. Jesus goes, I know. Here's what I encourage you with. Worry about today. Focus on today. It's almost like he was the one who invented the technique of grounding. He says, Philip, he looks at humanity, don't worry about the future. Don't worry about all these things you can't control. Don't worry about these things that haven't even happened yet. Focus on today. Focus on today. It's enough for today. Some of us have been worried about future scenarios for far too long, and the Father wants you to come back to today. Because we miss so much of what he's doing in the moment if we're so worried about the future. We're so worried about trying to find that right spouse or find that right career or make sure we make enough money or whatever it is we're searching for in the future. Jesus says, if you're worried so much about the future, you're missing what I'm doing today. And so as he's just beckoning us back, I want to ask, what voice tone did you hear these scriptures in? What voice tone did you hear these scriptures in? When Jesus was talking, did you hear a voice tone that was judging or harsh or difficult or kind of coming down on you? Or did you hear these voice tones out of a man named Jesus, the Son of God, who was saying these things out of deep love for you? Did you hear a man who was teaching these verses caring so much about humanity, knowing the way that we're wired and the difficult things that we face and our propensity to worry and stress and anxiety, and a man sitting down to teach the ways of the kingdom because he knows we'd worry. He knows we'd have stress and anxiety, and he cares so much for us that he would say, let me teach you. Let me teach you about these moments and these things that go on. You don't have to be consumed with worry. You can put your heart in the kingdom of God. He goes, I know it's difficult. I know it's difficult, but it is possible. And so I want us to encourage us to be a church that reminds each other, live for today. Don't let yourself be consumed with worries or stress or anxieties of the thing of the future. Start with today. Start with today. Encourage one another that we can love each other, that we can spur each other on to work on what God is doing in the now. Some of us have gone through incredibly difficult things, and can we be a church that meets people where they're at? Can we be a church that meets people with where they're at because that was the way Jesus showed us? Jesus is the one who set that example of wherever people are at, meet them. Love them, encourage them. It doesn't mean it's okay to stay there, but we have to meet people where they're at. And Jesus teaches these things because he knows so many of us as humans have been broken, have struggled with things, sin has entered our life and wrecked things, and he says, I want to meet you where you're at. And I want to tell you that you don't have to spend the rest of your life worrying or crippled with anxiety or stress, that I want to work in your life and teach you how to value the things of God. He wants to show us that the Father knows. The Father knows what we're going through, what we have been through, everything that's been so difficult. The Father knows. And so right now, if we can just bow our heads and close our eyes, and not that there's something spiritual about that, it just helps us focus. As we close out this service, I truly just want us to have a moment where we allow Jesus to speak into our life. Because maybe you've walked into Hiawassee, or you've turned on a computer or a laptop or phone or whatever it is, and you're watching online right now, or maybe you're here in Morganton. You know that Jesus is just speaking your life and calling to you, that you've been carrying this weight of stress and anxiety for far too long. And Jesus wants to do something in your life today. He wants to bring healing. He wants to bring focus on the kingdom of God and not this earth. He wants to speak into your life. So I just want to say, what would you say back to Jesus when he says, the Father knows? What would you say back to Jesus when he says, the Father knows? So we just want to close out with one last worship song, and you can sing the song in prayer, or you can sit in your seat and pray. You can hit your knees and pray. You can talk to God right now in this moment, because he is the one who can bring change. He is the one who can bring healing. So Jesus, we give you this time. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. We love you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.